Welcome to Chip Chat Network Insights, conversations exploring network transformation through interviews with industry experts.
Welcome to Chip Chat Network Insights. My name is Allison Klein. We're coming to you live from the Intel Builders Summit event in The Hague. And I am delighted to be joined by George Hamilton, Vice President of Product Marketing at Rift.io. Welcome back, George.
Thanks for having me again.
So this is your second time on Chip Chat. Why don't you just get started by reminding the audience your role at Rift.io and what role Rift.io is playing within the network transformation arena?
Sure. Well, yes, I'm the VP of Marketing at Rift.io, and I think this is actually a great time to do this. We talked just a little over a year ago, and so much has changed. You know, our role is really trying to build a common management and orchestration platform. One of the biggest challenges we're hearing from the operators is the proprietary silos. They have these kind of islands of virtual deployments within their data center environments. And that's posing a challenge to stitch this all together in a consistent way and be able to create network service chains and deploy this across their environment. And so we're hearing a lot about trying to standardize this, develop a common MANO platform that will be open source, so there's no lock-in. But if there's separate management for all of these different solutions, it's really hard to build scale and efficiency in that type of environment. So that's where they're kind of stuck right now. Mm-hmm. And so our focus as a company is standardizing on that, on the information models, working with open source communities, integrating open source technology, and then building a ready to deploy management and orchestration layer that allows them to choose from multiple VNFs out of an ecosystem, be able to create complex service chains, and be able to onboard, deploy, and manage those consistently.
You're absolutely right. We talked about a year ago, and it seems about at Mobile World Congress, MANO just took off as a topic, and people were talking about the need for consolidated management and orchestration of the network. Where has Rift.io gone since the last interview in terms of the types of capabilities that you're delivering, and how has open source informed and inspired that work?
There hasn't been that much change. I think we've just moved along the maturity curve. And I think a good way to think of this is how open source MANO launched at MWC. Rift.io is a founding member, seed code contributor to that effort. We've contributed significant code to that. Our responsibility in that context is network service orchestration, the user interface, and contributing the common information model and trying to standardize that so that you have a very consistent VNF and network service onboarding and deployment capability. Now, open source MANO had release 0 in May, which was demo capability. We can now demo that software. And now just recently last week, OSM had release 1, which now is ready to go into POCs and trials and carrier environments. And then the next step in the first quarter of 2017 will be to have release 2, which is then deployment ready. From Rift.io's perspective, over the last 12 months, we've actually just seen that exact progression now, where we think the big question around NFV SDN has been the timing of the market. When is this actually going to start happening? When are real deployments going to take place? And we can see now, and seeing how OSM has gone from demo software to now very soon is going to have production-ready software to deploy, Riftware is following that same path, contributing to OSM, incorporating OSM capabilities in our own software. And so we see early 2017 to the middle of 2017, we're actually going to start to see these first deployments from carriers, real deployments with a common management and orchestration layer.
That's going really fast. And OSM, it's an interesting open source effort because it's really combined members of the ecosystem with actual carriers that are working side by side to deliver this type of capability. What's that been like to work in that?
It's been very interesting. I'm actually a member of the marketing task force in the OSM community, and it's been a really interesting process. And I think you hit on the thing that's really important about that open source community is that it is operator-led. The vendors are key participants in contributing the code, but code has come from both carriers and the vendors. Mm-hmm. It was Telefonica contributed code, Rift.io, and Canonical. Those were the founding seed code. And now we've just had release 1. We can add VMware as a code contributor. And there were also a couple other vendors who contributed pieces of code to the effort. So what I think is remarkable is that 8 months, we've gone from less than 24 members and participants to now well over 40. And there's a lot of operators within that community.
Now, I know that you've been demonstrating some of the capabilities that are in OSM. Can you tell me a little bit about the ones that are most exciting to you?
I guess the most exciting capabilities from our perspective in looking at Riftware, the OSM capabilities that are in Riftware, I think the thing that really catches people's eye, I think, is the service composer and the graphical user interface. Just the whole lifecycle management capabilities. When we were at MWC, we had one of the ecosystem providers came up and saw our demo at the booth, and they saw our graphical service composition tool, the service composer, mm-hmm. being able to build a complex network service chain, mm-hmm. do service function chaining, and show them graphically how to do that. And they were floored at how simple and intuitive it was in the graphical user interface. I think that's what catches people's eyes. Here at SDN World Congress, we're doing an auto-scaling demo, new with version 4.2 and even more feature-rich in 4.3 for Riftware, is the ability to do auto-scaling functions based on triggers from a service assurance tool. Like, I'll use an example of CNX, who we have a partnership with. And we can be part of the feedback mechanism to them as part of their polling of all the network to see if SLAs are being violated, mm-hmm. or if any thresholds are being exceeded. And they can say that this needs to happen to avoid this. And they can push that trigger to us, and we can scale up resources to maintain service level agreements.
Nice.
The other demos that we're showing is working with our ecosystem partners like Brocade for their VCPE solution, mm-hmm. being able to deploy branch services either as a cloud service or at the branch as an on-premise service. We're also doing things with Intel, showing Intel enhanced platform awareness attributes and how we can optimize the use of infrastructure and tying that in with the auto-scaling capabilities so that we know here's how to deploy this VNF most cost-effectively on the available infrastructure, because we have an awareness of all the different capabilities in the infrastructure, including all the Intel EPA attributes. And also VPN as a service is another demo that features partners like Sixwind, Brocade, Riverbed, Metaswitch, and some others. And everything that we have, again, we contribute back to the open source Mando community.
I also saw something called the Hyperscale Engine. What is that all about?
Well, I think we really started very early on working with the VNF builders. One of the challenges we repeatedly hear from them is the difficulty, the selling friction in the environments. I mentioned the issue of the different isolated deployments within carrier environments. Well, mm-hmm. that's not just a problem for the carriers. It's very hard for the VNF builders themselves to sell in those environments because there's different onboarding processes in each environment, different integration work that has to happen. And it's very difficult to build those end-to-end service chains. It's just a lot of development work to go from a physical appliance to a virtualized solution. And then it's even further work to make that virtualized solution be multi-VM distributed to be able to scale across multiple dimensions, up, down, in, out. And so we've developed the Hyperscale Engine, which our own Mano capabilities leverage heavily, but it helps the VNF builders be able to build that cloud readiness into their VNFs. There's a set of libraries, and as mentioned, they can pick and choose which libraries, because we don't want to replace all their development effort. We want to augment it and give them tools that allow them to use agile development frameworks and have the same repeatable process every time when they're building their VNFs and deploying them in an operator environment. And so things like resiliency, I mentioned the scalability, Yang modeling, high-speed networking, the ability to build, package, test, automate that. That's part of what the Hyperscale Engine does and allows them really to build a VNF very quickly that features cloud capabilities and can be deployed in a cloud environment. So we think that will really reduce their cost of development and accelerate their timeline and be able to get to market faster, reduce mm-hmm. their time to market, and also eliminate a lot of that selling and deployment friction in the carrier environments, because there'll be more consistent onboarding and deployment processes, whatever VIM, whatever infrastructure their different carriers have.
Very nice. Final question for you, George. If folks want to find out more about Riftware and what you're doing in the open source community, where should they go for more information?
Certainly come to riftio.com. Also the open source Mano community and Etsy. We link back and forth between the two pages. Definitely those are two great resources. The software is available on GitHub as well as on riftio.com.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much, George, for being on the program today. It was a real pleasure.
Yeah, thank you.